The Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick off to get ready for the Predators broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network. Blue Jackets at Predators tonight at 7, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6. Right here on 102.5 The Game. We are pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Sportsnet NHL insider extraordinaire Elliot Freeman. Elliot, we are so glad to have you back on the show for another hockey season. How are you?
I'm good, Adam. How was your summer, man?
It was great. It was great. Derek, how was your summer?
Hey, my summer was wonderful.
We had a wonderful summer. We hope you did as well.
Hockey's back.
Great scene, by the way.
Hockey is back.
Great scene, by the way, last night in Toronto, Elliot, with the Maple Leafs winning and then the game ops people at Scotiabank Arena putting the Blue Jays game on the big screen. That was really cool.
Yeah, you know, it was a great move. Over the years, like, we've been spoiled at times, Adam. In 1993, it was interesting. We did a thing the last time the Maple Leafs and the Blue Jays won on the same night. And I couldn't believe it. The last time they ever won on the same night was the night that Joe Carter hit the game-winning home run in 1993. And the Maple Leafs beat Tampa Bay that night, and they started that year 9-0. And they actually started 10-0 before they lost their first game. And so, you know, we had the rights of the game last night, and we have the rights of the Blue Jays. Our owners are the owners of the Blue Jays. And we were joking, you know, it was me, it was Colby Armstrong, it was Luke Gazdick, and it was David Amber. And we were saying, nobody's watching us. We can probably say the most outrageous stuff of our careers tonight, and it's not going to matter. Because we were joking that nobody was watching us last night. It was pretty funny.
So let's start with, of course, the Nashville Predators. A much different vibe around the team. Okay. League-wide this year versus last year, just because of how poorly last season went. What fascinates you most about the Predators as they start their season tonight?
Well, you know, I think the answer has to be Brady Martin. Brady Martin is a guy that rocketed off the draft charts last year. I don't know if a couple years ago, like, I mean, in Canada, we rate kids too early, right? Like, you know, we're so hockey crazy, but I still don't think a year or 2 years ago people would have imagined that Brady Martin would have gone as high in the draft as he did. And then he rocketed up, and I think he's going to be a great pro. But I look at the charts and I see he's your number one center with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg, and I think the kid's a real talent. I'm just curious to see, is he ready for this? And, you know, overall, Adam, I think the West is brutal. It's by far the tougher of the two conferences. And I think you guys are going to be a lot better. I just can't imagine some of the things that happened last year are going to happen again. But it's a really hard conference. And it's really interesting. Like, I understand why you guys are doing it. I understand why you're giving them a taste. You know, one of the things I remember years ago is Mike Richards, who was a first-round draft pick, who was a top center on Philadelphia when they went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2010. He was a key player for the Kings when they won a Stanley Cup Championship in 2012. He talked to me, like, the first year he really played a lot, Philly wasn't very good. And he talked to me about going up against the top centers in the Eastern Conference, and basically how they kicked his ass. Like, it was like he'd face Matt Sundin, who's in the Hall of Fame, one night, and he'd face Saku Koivu, who was a great center for the Montreal Canadiens, the next night. And every night he was getting his butt kicked. And he said he never forgot it, and it made him so much of a better player. It turned him into the player he was. And I'm looking at Brady Martin, and, you know, like, the centers he's going to face on a night-in, night-out basis, It's going to be a big challenge, and I think it's going to benefit him long term. I just don't know, like, is he going to be able to handle that now?
To your point, Elliot, you look at the Predators' early season schedule. They've got Columbus tonight, Utah on Saturday. Yeah. Then they head your way next week. And I'm thinking about some of the top centers he could be matching up against, whether it's Tim Stützle or Austin Matthews or Nick Suzuki, Mark Scheifele.
Yep.
Like it's to the story, to your point with the story about Mike Richards, it feels like Brady Martin's going to get that same taste too.
And you know what? I think long term, it's a good thing. Like I don't think Brady Martin. Like I've seen some kids come up, and you know they're like, oh my god, and it affects their confidence. And I've seen other guys come up, and they're like, oh my god, and they channel it the right way for the long term. And from everything I understand about this kid, he's going to be like that. Whatever happens, good or bad, and there's going to be both. He's going to channel it the proper way long term. But I hope everybody in Nashville understands that there are going to be tough moments. And I think one of the biggest problems we have as a sport is that an 18-year-old kid comes in and everybody, or a 19-year-old kid, and everybody thinks they're going to be Sidney Crosby or Alexander Ovechkin. Most of them are not 100% ready for this. And if Brady Martin is not an immediate superstar, or everybody decides the best thing for Brady Martin is, okay, he doesn't stay for a full season yet, it doesn't mean the kid's a flop or it doesn't mean the kid's a failure, but what it does mean is that long-term, he'll probably benefit from this.
We'll talk with Elliot Friedman. You can check him out on his 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, you're right about this team, and I do believe, based on, you know, what wasn't achieved last year, because to me, this was a underachieving team, considering the guys that they brought in and the guys that
yes.
they already had. This team underachieved, and if you are to believe the numbers, then you believe that those guys that played bad last year will play much better this season, which will in turn make the team better. But I think even with that, the one guy that has to play better, and they can't help him play better, is UC Soros. He's now entering into
yes.
the first year of that 8-year deal. How is he viewed around the league, and do you think he can have a bounce back season?
First of all, Derek, I think he's got a lot of respect. I think that last year people look back at him and they're like, what was that? Like, how did that happen? And you know, the one thing is, like, Nashville didn't defend very well last year. And when you're a goalie, you know, you got to make a big save or two a night. You know, you're hoping from a goalie that they're going to make one or two big saves a night that can allow your team to win the game. But when you're facing the chances they were facing and the quality of chances they were facing, and just the fact that it didn't work at all last year, you can make even good goalies look ordinary or worse. You know, Derek, I believe everybody can have a bad year. Mm-hmm. What you can't have is two bad years in a row. I think Soros, he probably put in a lot of work this summer. The one thing, too, Derek, is it's an Olympic year. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's going to happen this year is there are going to be a lot of guys who go out hot because the Olympic teams have to be named by the end of December, and they're going to want to be on those teams. And I think one of the things that's going to happen is that there's going to be other Finnish goalies and players who are going to want to take that job from him. And he knows it because he played in the Four Nations last year and it didn't go well for Finland. And he had the tough year in Nashville. It didn't go well for the Predators. So I think not only does he want to be better for their team, but he also wants to be better to show that he's still the number one guy on the Finnish national team. I think it's a powerful motivator. But, you know, the biggest thing, Derek, is mm-hmm. I think the Predators have to be better in front of them. I think you can demand your goalie, like I said, make one or two saves that seem impossible and that save a game for you. But if you're being bombarded all night long, it's not going to matter.
Now, where does Andrew Brunette rank on the list of hot seats? If you don't have him number one, why is it?
Tough crowd, Derek. Oh my god. but you know what? Like I think it's a fair question. Uh-huh. Like it's hot. Like Last year was just a hard year, right? And, you know, I think when you go out and you sign the players, do I think that last year was all on Andrew Burnett? No. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Do I think that Andrew Burnett, like a lot of other people, has to share responsibility for last year happening? Yes. Yes, I do. And I think I understand, like we've all been around, all of us here, you, Adam, me, we've all been around sports a long time. When you spend what Nashville spent, ultimately you expect payback on it. And if it doesn't happen, change comes. And, you know, the one thing that surprised me last year is that the Predators from Burnett on down, they showed a willingness to adapt and change last year, and it still didn't work. But to me, I think if this group doesn't commit to defending and doing a better job than they did last year, absolutely, I think change is going to come.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet is joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. And Elliot, I know that you are a basketball fan. Early in your career, you were a basketball reporter. And Bruce Arthur, who I know you know, columnist for the Toronto Star, recently wrote an excellent column in which he presented Connor McDavid's new contract with the Oilers as McDavid's LeBron James moment. Basically, Connor McDavid taking a short extension in Edmonton and therefore taking control of his NHL career. I'm curious if you view it the same way, if you envision other superstars following suit, and if so, who could they be?
The only reason I would say no is that LeBron left, right?
He kept leaving, back. Yes.
The thing is, like, he left and then he came back, and then after he won in Cleveland, as far as I'm concerned, he could go do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. So the only reason I don't think that works is that McDavid, to this point, hasn't left. Mm-hmm. I think what he did was extremely unselfish. It's so funny. We're talking about a guy making $25 million over 2 years, and it's like, what a discount. Like, it's totally true, but
yes, it
sounds hilarious. But, you know, I really respect what he did because, you know, a couple times, we saw in the Amazon show last year, and I heard he did it again this year, where just when they were losing, he let everybody know how angry he was about it internally. And, you know, he talks about winning and he demands a lot. He doesn't demand anything else out of anybody else. He doesn't demand out of himself, too. But when it came down to making it work, like, he made it work. And I'll tell you, Adam, it wasn't unanimously popular in NHL circles. Like, there were some agents who didn't like it. There were some other players who didn't like it. And I just said, like, you have to, if you're worried about how it's going to affect your negotiation, you have to say, hey, that's a unique situation for him, and it doesn't affect me. And a couple guys have done that since. But, like, at the end of the day, because of their salary structure, which also isn't on him, if he wanted to win, he had to take less. And to his credit, he did it. I think the biggest thing he was doing by waiting as long as he did was telling them not to take his time there for granted. I think that's the message he sent. Don't always assume that just because I'm loyal to this group of players that it's going to be so easy to keep me. I think that's the big message he sent.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Elliot, because, you know, being a former player, you're looking at the market, especially when your time comes up to sign a deal, and you're gauging your deal, especially if you are one of the top players, you're gauging your deal off the guy right above you. And you see a guy that takes, he's not even the highest paid player on his team, and he didn't even get a pay raise. He just added 2 years to a contract or an extension. I'm sure the PA and some, like you said, some players are like, man, come, I get it, but man, you didn't take a dime over what you made last year. That has, like you said, it has to hit wrong with some people.
I think it did. You know, the one thing though, Derek, and you played in the cap world and in the NFL, but it was a cap that like the media rights of the NFL are so high that there were very few teams that ever really got in trouble with it. In the NHL, last few years, like, it was tight. And, you know, the one thing I always say is that, yeah, you could say McDavid could have gotten a higher number, but in a 50-50 cap world where everyone was around the cap, every dollar McDavid was taking meant that somebody else wasn't getting a dollar. So I think you can look at it that way. And the other thing, Derek, I always quote this book. One of the best sports business books I ever read was a book called The Bald Truth by David Falk. And he represented Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing, among others. And he would talk about how, as an agent, people would come out to him and they would say, well, this guy's making X on that team, and your player is not as good as that guy, so he should make X minus whatever. And David Falk's answer was, well, that's his situation. Mm-hmm. That's not our situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you have to do. I think you have to simply say, hey, McDavid did a special thing, but that's not our situation. I think if you're a good negotiator, that's the way you negotiate out of that.
Mm-hmm. Elliot, do you think Austin Matthews, when his time comes, could take a similar path as McDavid? They share an agent, and I'm wondering if Matthews may be the next player who does the McDavid slash Crosby-esque move to keep his team's window open, allow them to add more players. Do you think, I know we're a couple of years away from this, but could you see Matthews taking the same path?
Well, it's amazing because Matthews and McDavid are now scheduled to be unrestricted free agents in the same year.
Yes.
The summer of 2028, and they're also represented by the same agent, a guy by the name of Judd Moldaver. So he's going to have a lot of control over the market at that time. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. Like, I think what that will determine is, I'm so hesitant to guess that far in advance because, like, Phil Esposito's the Hall of Famer's old line is, I could be hit by a bus tomorrow, so everything can change. You know, I think this, it probably depends, Adam, on what situation he's looking to go into. Like, has he won by then or not? How close is the team that he either stays with, the Maple Leafs, or wants to go to? So I think, like, the one thing about McDavid is he believes that right now and in the immediate future, his Oilers team is good enough to win. If you're going somewhere else where either, if you've either won before or you're going somewhere else where you're not sure about that, that's where I think it changes.
So quickly before we get you out of here, Elliot, if that indeed does happen, and it looks like it's headed toward that way, where those two individuals will be free agents in the same year, will that be the most interesting free agency period you've encountered?
As long as they don't sign beforehand. Like, Derek, everybody across the NHL is already bitching about the fact that McDavid is signed and Kyle Connor is signed and Jack Eichel is signed. Like, people are texting me, they're joking, are you going to go on vacation next year on June 30th because there's nothing left? So I think the answer is, Derek, if they actually make it that far.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and Adonic. He will join us every Thursday at 5 o'clock throughout hockey season. Elliot, it was great to catch up. Great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
It's great. Are you guys at the game right now?
Are
you
we
guys
are in the building,
In the building?
Yes.
You know, it sounds as great as ever. Like, every time, like, I listen to that in the background, I'm like, what a great thing it was. Remember everybody made fun of Nashville when they got a team? Mm-hmm. What a great thing it was that we did. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you, Elliot. We'll talk next week.
Take care, guys. See you there.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we will talk about the Predators player who is more under pressure than anybody else, and I don't think it's even close. And we will discuss him coming up next. 615-737-1025. D-Mace, Ving, and Adonic is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.
Said the last couple of years he has not been good. He was not really last year. The year before, he was very good for us. You know, we made the playoffs. He stole a lot of games. Our team played better in front of him. Last year, he didn't have the season that we all expected. But that is a product that a lot of times with a team in front of you. Mm-hmm. We were not predictable in our own zone. We left them exposed on two-on-ones and breakaways and backdoor passes that I don't care who's in net. You can have, Connor Hellebuck from Winnipeg in net, and he would have his worst season ever because we were no good in front of him.
That was Barry Trotz on our show on Tuesday discussing UC Saros, who will start for the Predators tonight in game number one against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Remember, UC Saros did not start the first game of the season for the Predators. Last year, he was injured. Scott Wedgwood started in net for the Predators. There's a trivia question for you. So, Derek.
Yes.
If I am putting together a list of the Predators players who are most under pressure, it is UC Saros number one, and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. Sort of like that exercise we were doing about the Titans. Okay, Jeffrey Simmons is the Titans' number one player. Who's second? Kind of a hard question to answer. There's a big gap. And that's how I feel about the pressure index with UC Saros and then everybody else. UC Saros had the worst season of his career last season. Now, you could say the same for a lot of members of the Nashville Predators. But when you are the goalie and you are signed to an 8-year contract, which, by the way, starts this season. This is the first game of UC Saros' 8-year contract coming up in just about an hour and a half. It's the first game of that 8-year contract. I think UC Saros, for a lot of Predators fans, has the most to prove individually because, let's be frank here, guys. Mm-hmm. Predators fans, you have been downright spoiled when it comes to goaltending in this franchise's nearly 30-year history. And UC Saros has shown in his career that he can play at an elite level. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can argue that. He has shown that at times. However, to Barry Trotz's point, right? Like, I get what Barry Trotz is saying. And I agree with Barry Trotz that if you put even the best goalies in the sort of defensive situations that the Predators put UC Saros in last season, that goalie is not going to perform well. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I agree with that. On the other hand, there are plenty of Predators fans who will say, if you are paying UC Saros for 8 years, you are paying him nearly $8 million per season, he needs to be good enough that his teammates can break down in front of him, and he is going to clean it up. So I see both sides of it. I understand what Trotz is saying. The team needs to defend better. That is an emphasis for this team this season, to defend better, to make life easier on UC Saros. On the other hand, for a lot of Predators fans, UC Saros has to be able to steal games and make up for his teammates' mistakes more often than he did last season. I think the pressure is squarely on Saros' shoulders this season.
And rightfully so. I mean, like a quarterback, the responsibility that you have is heavy. And, regardless of how they play in front of you, people expect you to do your job in net no matter what. Not knowing that, yes, I need to be better, and yes, they're paying me 8 times 8. I think that's what
eight
it is.
8 times 7.74.
Yes, close yes. to 8. I still need my guys in front to do their job. If they do their job and I do my job, we're good. But if they're not doing their job, it makes my job even harder to do. I know you expect me to still get it done, but more than likely, if it persists, I'm not going to be able to get it done, as we saw this past season. Last year, he wasn't able. He held on for his life. Willie spelled it out yesterday. He had a stretch in there where he was holding a team. He was carrying a team. And then it got to a point where the load was too heavy. And you saw what you saw the second half of the season. So does he need to play better? Absolutely. That's the only shot that they have to have real consistency if their goalie plays the way we know he can play. But if the guys don't play well in front of him, they're going to make his job equally as hard.
And you probably didn't notice it because the team was so bad. But UC Soros did steal a lot of games for the Predators last season. In fact, I have the exact number. I don't want to get too nerdy. He stole 8 games for the Predators last season. He did. He stole 8 games for the Predators last season, which means that he basically gave the Predators 8 wins that they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But then again, the team was so bad, that didn't matter. And I am a fan of UC Soros as a person and as a goaltender. Mm-hmm. But it is hard to defend UC Soros after he performed the way he did last season. So I think it is imperative for him to help this team get off to a great start. You know, a lot of Predators fans were hoping when the team started 0-5 that UC Soros would steal a game or two then and help this team pick up a couple of wins at the beginning of the season. We know what happened. He was unable to do that. The team started 0-5 and never recovered. So tonight starts a huge season for UC Soros. He absolutely has to play better. Of course, everybody has to play better. That's why the Predators put an emphasis on getting bigger defensively. They've made some tweaks to their system defensively to try to help out UC Soros. We'll see if that pans out starting tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's get to your reaction at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kathy says, in my opinion, the path to the playoffs for the Predators starts with a new coach. I know it's early to be saying that. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. You asked the question to Elliot Friedman about Andrew Burnett. Andrew Burnett was the overwhelming favorite to be the first coach fired in a poll conducted by The Athletic before the start of the season a couple of days ago. If you go to your any whatever betting website you like to go to, Andrew Burnett is going to be at the top of that list as the first coach fired. And there is a lot of pressure, of course, on Burnett. But Derek Barry Trotz, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Andrew Burnett should be thanking his lucky stars that his boss is a coach or was a coach because Barry Trotz understands patience. David Poile was incredibly patient with Barry Trotz, and that helps Andrew Burnett that Barry Trotz is his boss. So there's a lot of pressure on Burnett as well. I think it's kind of similar. We talked about this yesterday, I think. It's kind of similar to what the Titans and Brian Callahan are going through right now. It's about buy-in. And I don't think Burnett got the necessary buy-in last season, especially from his veteran players. And I think you saw some of those, what's the word I'm looking for here? Maybe some of those emotions come out over the course of the season from the veteran players, and even from Burnett. Burnett was not shy about criticizing his players. So I'm curious to see what Burnett has done. It appears he's made the necessary tweaks to his system to better accentuate the talent on the roster. But look, if this team gets off to another rough start, those calls are going to be loud. And we did this exercise about a year ago, Derek, because Willie Donick, who's not here to defend himself, accused me of cherry picking, which was a slap in my face. So I did the research, and I discovered that if you look back over the past 10 years in the NHL, it is clear that teams that fire their coaches perform better after firing the coach. So if this team gets off to a bad start, those calls for Brunette's seat are going to keep coming and coming and coming. So, you know, in my pressure index, I was only including players. I put UC Soros number one. If we're including the staff, Brunette may be giving him a run for his money.
Well, obviously, if this thing doesn't start off the way that they anticipate or they want, then, you know, the buzzers are going to be circling.
What did Elliot say to you about UC Soros? You can't have two bad seasons in a row, right?
Two bad seasons.
That's the same thing for
Burnett. For the head coach, yeah. You can't have two bad seasons with the talent that people perceive your team to have. You can't have two bad seasons. Last year, I think it was a lot of coach trying to figure them out, them trying to figure the coach out. Coach, for a while, trying to put round circles in square holes or square pegs in round holes, and it just wasn't working. And the guys got frustrated. I think hopefully he's tailored his game around the individuals that he have. A lot of times coaches want the players to adapt to their system. No, some good coaches take their roster, if they have a good roster, and they pair their play calling, or they pair whatever they're doing up to their roster. They don't do it the other way around. It's hard to do it the other way around. Tell me what a guy does well, and let's do that. That's what Bill Belichick says. I don't want to hear what he can't do. Okay, we got him here for a reason. Tell me what he can do, and let's start doing that. Put him in a position to do that. And I don't think at first that's what Coach Brunette was doing.
615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on the Predators. Puck drop is at 7 pregame in roughly 25 minutes with Max Herz right here on 102.5 The Game. Skyler on our text line says, fast start. Have to be above 500 after 15 games, or I think Bruno should be gone, but Trotz keeps surprising me, LOL. If I'm not mistaken, after they started 0-5, that fifth consecutive regulation loss to start the season, the Predators were already 8 points out of a playoff spot. Mm. That's not insurmountable, but it's really hard to come back from that sort of gap. So I absolutely agree with Skyler. Fast start is necessary for the Predators this season. 615-737-1025 will continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. The season opener is less than 90 minutes away. We will wrap up the show next, live from Bridgestone Arena. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena in Barrel House, outside Section 111. 112. Come say hi. We'll be here until the top of the hour when Max Herz takes over for Predators pregame. Game number one, Blue Jackets at Predators tonight. Puck drop at 7, of course, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. A quick run through the projected lineup for tonight if you're heading to the game. On your first line for the Nashville Predators, Philip Forsberg, rookie, 18-year-old rookie, Brady Martin at number one center, Ryan O'Reilly on the right wing. Second line, Steven Stamkos, Fedor Svechkov, Joachim Kemmel. Third line, Michael Bunting, Eric Howla, and Jonathan Marchessault. Fourth line, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Tyson Jost. First defensive pair, Adam Willsby and Roman Josi. Brady Shea and Nick Perbix, Spencer Stastny and Justin Barron. And starting in goal for the Predators, Juuse Saros. Now,
any
here's
surprises
a
surprises to you?
No surprises to me. Here's a fun exercise, Derek. I am going to read to you quickly the players who were in the opening night lineup for the Predators last year against the Dallas Stars, who are no longer members of this organization. Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak, Philip Tomasino, Colton Sissons, Mark Jankowski, Dante Fabbro, Jeremy Lauzon, Alex Carrier, Luke Shen, and Scott Wedgwood. 10.
Wow.
10 players who were in the opening night lineup for the Predators last year, last October, are not in the lineup tonight. Matthew from Jolton on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if it's another slow start for Brunette, you have to fire him. Pete DeBoer would be salivating with this team. Pete DeBoer, the former coach of the Dallas Stars, incredibly accomplished coach. If there is a coaching change in the NHL, the first one that happens, wherever it is, Pete DeBoer will immediately be on the top of everybody's wish list. So we'll see there. Jerry takes exception to what I said about Juuse Saros. Jerry says, I couldn't disagree with you more about Saros. So many times last year on the morning show, they would talk about the soft goals that he gave up, multiple games where he gave up soft goals. I don't think he's ever been an elite goalie, a pretty good one, but never elite. And they're just throwing everybody else under the bus, saying they didn't do their jobs when he really didn't do his. Jerry, I could not disagree with you more about the assertion that Juuse Saros has never played like an elite goalie. He received MVP votes during the COVID-shortened 2021 season, where he single-handedly carried that team, which was near the bottom of the standings halfway through the season, into the playoffs. He had a 2.28 goals against average and 9.27 save percentage in that season. Those are elite numbers. Between the 2021 and 2023 seasons, he had a .920 save percentage over 167 games. That is elite-level goaltending. No one is arguing that UC Saros has not been good or was not good last year. To say he's never played at an elite level, quite frankly, is stupid. So you can say that I am caping for UC Saros, but I know my numbers. UC Saros did not play like an elite goalie last year. I have seen him play like one in my time here.
I mean, this is what we, you know, run into in sports. And it's all about what are you doing for me now. And it's understandable to a certain degree, because you can never forget what that – because it's not too far. It's not like UC was playing at an elite level 8 years ago or 5 or 6 years ago. He's only 2 years removed from an elite season.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to deal with injuries, a roster not helping. Again, like you said, he has to play better, no doubt. If they're going to have any chance, he has to play better. But the assertion that he hasn't played at an elite level, he's not too far removed. He's been in the Vezina voting for the last, prior to these two seasons, he's been in the Vezina voting for the last, those three seasons.
Yes.
He was a top, what, five finalists, a top six finalist.
He's officially been a finalist one time, but he's been around the edges many times in his career. But he's been an actual finalist just one time in 2022. Let's go to Josh on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Josh, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I don't remember if it was you later in the season or could have been Stilly, but there's a stat, either expected goals or expected saves.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Saros way down on his expected save or goals that he gave up that he should have not given up?
Thank you for the call, Josh. Yes, so not to get too nerdy, there is a stat called goal saved above expected, which is just a fancy way of saying, based on the shot attempts that a goalie is facing, mm-hmm. here's how many goals they should have allowed.
Okay.
Based on the quality of the shots that he is facing.
Okay.
And the best goalies overperform that metric. UC Saros, I don't remember his number off the top of my head last season, but it was low. I mean, he was not good last season. So, and you know I love my friend Stilly, but never trust Stilly when it comes to analytics, okay? Never, ever, 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 ever. David on our text line says, in your opinion, with the 10 guys from the opening day roster last year versus the 10 new guys on the opening day roster, is this a stronger roster in your opinion? That's an interesting question. That's a good question. I'll have to take a look. I mean, the players that were not, who were on the roster last year, who are not on the roster this year, those players were more proven, right? There are a lot of young players in the lineup, in the opening night lineup this year, which is a good thing. But, you know, Gus Nyquist was a veteran player. Colton Sissons, Luke Shen, Alex Carrier. So that's a really good question. I'm not sure exactly how to answer that. Last year's opening night lineup was certainly more experienced. This one has more potential, which is what I think is important. Matthew says, this team does need a McDonough type of defenseman. It's hard to replace a guy like that, as we saw last season. The Predators are hoping that Nick Hague can be that guy. Mm-hmm. Nick Hague is not the same type of defenseman as Ryan McDonough. He's 6'6", 245 pounds. He plays that hard game, which McDonough does as well. But Hague is injured. He'll miss the first month of the season. But the Predators are hoping that Hague will be that player. SL in Knoxville on our text line says, underreported last season, overlooked so far today. As goes Roman Josi, so go the Predators. Is he ready? His engagement and participation level tonight will be our best read on the season. We all hope he's healthy for his own sake, but we need him at his best for their sake.
Well.
So Roman Josi was diagnosed with POTS.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can remember it. I can't remember it off the top of my head. Sir, I see you in the Blue Jackets jersey. That's okay. Postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, POTS. It's a condition that causes a number of symptoms when you transition from lying down to standing up. Roman Josi has a history of head injuries. It was a head injury that ended his season last year against the Florida Panthers when Sam Bennett hit him into the glass. But Roman Josi says he feels 100%. He's made changes to how he trains, how he his sleep schedule, his diet. And I am interested about this, Derek, because Roman Josi says that there should be no limitations to how he plays. And Roman Josi, to me, there are not many defensemen in the NHL who I would take on my team over Roman Josi. The list has grown over the years, but I could still probably count on one hand, maybe kind of two, of the defensemen I would take right now on my team over Roman Josi. So he is one of the best in the league at driving offense from the back end. So I agree with SL's sentiment that Roman Josi is critical to this team getting off to a good start and playing well this season.
Of course he is. He's one of their leaders. He's one of their best players. And if he's playing well, typically the team is playing well. If he's not playing well, then the team's a struggler. Now, this will be, if I'm correct, this would be the full season of him knowing that he has, since he's been diagnosed with POTS.
Yes,
so this has been, since he's known. So this would be the first full season.
Yes, that is right.
Okay.
That is right.
So how will it affect him? Because he's never been through this once he was diagnosed. So how does this affect him moving forward? Like you said, he's changed his diet. He's doing some of these lifestyle things that he needs to do in order to be productive, not just playing, but in everyday life. But will stress of a season affect him and POTS? Will, you know, getting rammed into the glass and him having all of that you have? And I'm sure the doctors have thought about all this. But thinking about it and then actually having it being, you know, done in real life, real time is a different thing.
Yes.
So how will it potentially affect him? Do they have to watch his minutes?
That's one thing I was wondering when I first saw this news.
Uh-huh.
Are they going to have to limit the amount of time that he plays? They're not going to take him off the power play, but do they pull him back at even strength? Uh-huh. I'll be curious to see how he's deployed tonight. Ron from Franklin says, take a great goalie on a great team and put that same backstopper on a bad team and see the result. Goalies are important, but more influenced by the team than the other way around. It's like a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. If a quarterback has a terrible offensive line, think about how much under pressure Cam Ward had been through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yes.
Pressured 44% of the time on his dropbacks. Quarterbacks are going to have an incredibly difficult time playing to their capabilities when they are constantly running for their lives. And the offensive line stepped up for Cam Ward in Arizona and helped him pull off that fourth quarter comeback. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with a goalie. If the Predators can defend better, UC Saros will not be required to make as many grade-A saves, mm-hmm. and that means he will play better.
Yes.
I want to emphasize this again. UC Saros was bad last season. B-A-D, bad. I'm not going to defend that. But I have seen UC Saros play at an incredibly high level. And I am wondering how I'm going to be watching this extra closely tonight, how the team defends, how many grade A scoring chances he sees, and I want to see if they can put into practice what they've been preaching throughout training camp. So I am just hopeful that this team will play well this season. Nashville sports fans need entertainment, right?
They deserve it.
Right. Nashville fans need entertainment. The Titans are entertaining in the wrong way. We all get a kick out of some of the stupid stuff the Titans do.
They need good entertainment.
Right, but just the combination last fall and winter of the Titans being bad and the Predators getting off to a bad start, it sucked. It sucked to talk about. It sucked for y'all to watch it. We don't want that. We don't want that this year. We want the Predators to get off to a good start because we know how passionate Predators fans are. You know, I covered this team for more than 7 years. I got to know a lot of you. I see you around. Like, opening night is like the first day of school.
Of course.
It's like y'all are seeing people you haven't seen since April. You're catching up.
Around.
You're catching up. Everybody's 0-0-0. You know, nothing could possibly go wrong.
And as my coach would say, don't be grab button out there.
Grab button.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He used the A word. Yes. I don't want to use that.
Yes. Don't be grab. You heard Derek Mason. Don't be grab button out there. Let's hope the Predators are not grab button out there tonight when they take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Pregame starts in less than 5 minutes right here on 102.5 The Game. Max Herz, he's looking dapper over there.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his suit and tie on. He's a little – he's got that beard going. He looks
good.
He looks good, of
course. He acts like he don't hear us, but he hears.
Yeah, yeah. Max hears us. Max hears us. Pete Weber and Jay Moore, of course, will be on the call starting at 7 o'clock. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock to break down tonight's game and look ahead to the Titans matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Mason is going to be on an early morning flight to Las Vegas. He will be there. So Willie and I will be in studio. Derek Mason will be live from Las Vegas. What could possibly go wrong with that? But we will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music? You hear it. Don't forget about us. Don't forget about us. Because you know what? We'll be back tomorrow, same time. See ya. Peace.